last week we neglected to put an attraction on our top 10 Disney scary encounters list. Surprisingly enough, it was an alien encounter. Yes, it's very embarrassing. So now I'm forcing myself to watch Pocahontas 2. I'm taking it for the team.
Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Megan, and we'd like to welcome you to the last LaughingPlace.com podcast of 2005.
On this episode, we're going to recount the year, give our New Year's resolutions for Disney for 2006, discuss the news, and also bring up trivia and our contest winner from last week. So let's get started with Rachel with the news.
At 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning, Disney's Grand Californian Hotel's Christmas tree caught fire, causing an evacuation of the hotel's guests. The fire was put out quickly by firefighters.
And thanks to all the signs around the hotel, I know that the alarm sounded like whoop whoop. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, sometime at the Grand Californian Hotel, look at their signs, because it says so.
Because of construction of the Finding Nemo attraction currently being built in the Old Submarine Voyage Lagoon, from January 9th through September 4th, 2006, the monorail will operate bidirectionally. The Disneyland Resort is entering a float for the 2006 Tournament of Roses Parade to be held on January 2nd. According to HGTV.com, the Disney float entry is highlighted by a floral depiction of five beloved Disney castles as seen in California, Florida, Japan, France, and Hong Kong. Soaring nearly 50 feet high and 100 feet long, the longest Rose Parade entry this year, the float features the U.S. premiere of the newest Disney song, One, written exclusively for the recent grand opening of Hong Kong Disneyland. Several hundred Disneyland Paris workers are protesting outside the park's gates due to the recent decision to scrap the annual Christmas bonus. According to UPI reports, the director of London's Mary Poppins stage musical is talking to Steven Spielberg about a Hollywood remake of the popular 1964 Disney movie.
You know, Steven Spielberg is talented and all, and I'm sure the stage musical is great, but really, I don't see the point in reproducing quite possibly the best live-action musical ever.
Exactly. I mean, it's just trying to redo. It wasn't successful when Gus Van Sant tried to remake Psycho a few years back, so why do they think it's going to work now? I just think that Julie Andrews is so iconic as Mary Poppins that it's going to be extremely hard to do a remake of it.
On December 25th at 10 a.m., the Magic Kingdom experienced a loss of power park-wide lasting around 30 minutes. At Epcot, near the entrance of Soarin' at the tour desk, Disney has begun to sell Soarin'-related merchandise. The official website for Walt Disney World has announced dates for annual passholder previews of Expedition Everest. The dates are January 26th through the 29th, and each person who attends will receive a collectible Expedition Everest pin and lanyard.
Today's trivia question is, when were Sharon and Susan born from the Disney movie The Parent Trap? The answer is coming up.
So now it's time to look back at 2005. We've gathered together some of our favorite memories of the year. So let's begin with Make It.
I have to say, for me, the single most memorable moment was getting to attend the May 5th press event. Since I'm Florida-based, I attended from Walt Disney World. I also got to go to the Good Morning America taping that morning, and interestingly enough, went to it twice. On the 4th of May, I actually thought it was the 5th, and woke Daniel up, who was going with me, made him get up with me, 5:30 in the morning, was halfway there when I finally realized, hey, it's the 4th, not the 5th. And so we actually got to get up and go for it twice, but it was interesting to watch. It was my first time getting to see a press event on that scale, so it was very worthwhile. Although I have to say it made the actual anniversary date a little bit anticlimactic.
For me, one of the best experiences of the year was listening to the 50th box set, which was
assembled wonderfully by Randy Thornton for the Disneyland 50th. I actually went online immediately once I heard that it was out and bought it pretty much instantaneously. It's the least amount of thinking I've ever done for spending about $150. I just completely went for it. This box set is great. It's got plenty of stuff I've never heard before, as well as much better recordings of attractions and songs. Truly meaningful for somebody like me who used to sneak in the tape recorder to tape attraction audio. It's just great to be able to own a box set that's as complete as the one that they released this year.
Well, one of my favorite memories for this year would be watching the Expedition Everest construction progressing, because it's not very often you get to see something so big and so massive. I mean, the scale is just tremendous to see it just come together. Right now it looks beautiful, and just remembering looking at it when it was just, you know, a pile of dirt is really nifty to me.
On a more personal note, definitely one of my more memorable Disney moments this year was getting to go on my first trip to Disneyland in February. I've always grown up with Walt Disney World parks, and so this was a real treat for me. Although I have to say that most of the people I know around here were pretty much like, why are you going to Disneyland when you have Walt Disney World in your backyard? But it was a really unique experience getting to go to the park that Walt actually walked in, and I have to say, I'm slightly head over heels in love with the place.
Also, park related, one of my favorite memories this year was the 4th of July displays at Walt Disney World. I actually had the opportunity to see every display because on the night before, July 3rd, they actually do the display at Magic Kingdom, which I watched from Polynesian, a great place to view the fireworks. And then the night of July 4th, the Disney Studios fireworks were 30 minutes before Epcot's, or an hour, I can't remember. I think it was an hour. And so you had the ability to watch one of the shows, and then we walked over through the International Gateway and watched the Epcot fireworks. And let me tell you, those Epcot fireworks were crazy. I've never been scared of fireworks before in my life, and I almost had tears in my eyes just because of how loud it was. And they must have shot off like 10,000 pyro watches in that last few seconds. It was insane. It was almost overkill, but it was awesome. I loved it.
Well, yours might be the 4th of July. I wasn't lucky enough to see that, but recently I saw the Epcot holiday finale for the first time, and that's also amazingly loud and exciting right at the end.
I have to say that definitely one of my highlights of the year was getting to see Turtle Talk with Crush for the first time at Epcot's Living Seas Pavilion, and now at Disney's California Adventure. It's just an amazing attraction. It's one of the most unique experiences Disney has to offer, getting one-on-one interaction with a character like that, especially a character who could not be portrayed very well by a cast member in fur. So that was definitely one of the highlights of my year, and I'd really love to see more attractions similar to it.
For me, one of the biggest moments, like an actual moment, was in the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, when they're in the snow and the beaver comes out and Peter reaches his hand out and the beaver's like, what do you want me to do, smell it? It's a really funny moment, but just the special effects and that moment, I was completely buying that they were talking to a beaver, even though it's a ludicrous concept. And to see a movie do that now is amazing, and you don't see it very much, even with special effects, because usually, for me, CGI is kind of on the line, and usually it doesn't look as real. But that, I totally bought, and it was a really cool moment for me.
And another one of my favorite would be the release of the Season 1 Muppets Show DVD. It's just a great compilation of just really witty writing and all sorts of stuff. I just eat it up. And I recommend it to anybody who just wants to sit down and have a good time. It's great.
Great to have you here, Jay Raziulo, president of Theme Parks and Resorts.
Right.
Worldwide. But, of course, here we are. How exciting is this to be here at the place that started it all?
Fabulous. Just to be here celebrating Walt's invention of this great form of family entertainment is just terrific.
Well, the end of the year is the time when everybody starts making their New Year's resolutions, and this year we decided to put a personal twist on our own resolutions and come up with the resolutions Disney should make.
Well, I think that Disney should sort of stray away from the theater-based attractions and focus more on the immersive sort of audio-animatronic attractions that they used to be doing before.
Yeah, I agree, because I think while Mickey's PhilharMagic and Soarin' are great attractions, or even Mission Space is pretty good, but I wouldn't want to see too many more just because so many of those, like the ones I mentioned, have been theater-based, and I think that at this point it would be starting to realm into overkill.
Not to mention that it's hard to provide immersive theming in a theater-based attraction. There's not many attraction concepts that really naturally lend themselves to going into a theater with a bunch of seats, sitting down, and then watching a movie.
I also think that, well, there's sort of been an absence of the Muppets around just the TV or the theme parks in general, even though that Disney recently added them to their collection, as it were. So I'd like to see them incorporate the Muppet characters in more theme park attractions, entertainment, or TV.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Disney has decided what they're going to do with the Muppets yet. It seems like they're kind of sitting on them as an asset right now. I hope that they'll find their niche, as it were. I think it's a little more of the edgy type humor than like Mickey and the Gang. And so that would be their audience, and I really hope that with America's Next Top Muppet that they continue to do Muppet-oriented ideas. Okay, now let's go to Make It.
Well, for my resolutions, my first one is, how about some princess merchandise that isn't pink and plastic? I really think that Disney's been ignoring a huge market for the princess concept in older teenage and 20-something women. Quite frankly, you know, you've got a lot of women that may be into the princess concept, especially when they're on vacation, but quite frankly, the pink and plastic Barbie look turns them off because they are looking for something slightly more sophisticated. And in my own travels around the park, I've seen grown women wearing tiaras that are sized for girls just because they were the only really nice-looking tiaras available, and I really think that Disney is ignoring a rather large market and just creating all their princess merchandise for small children.
Yeah, I think more sophisticated merchandise would be good for men, too, because you have the Pixar characters, which I think really appeals to 20- to 40-year-olds and even older, but the more sophisticated type that don't necessarily want to come home in just a cheesy t-shirt with some clip art on it. Not to mention it is hard to find anything besides the Fab Five in adult sizes, like any of the more not even obscure characters like, you know, Mr. Incredible or Buzz Lightyear. But I personally would love to see sophisticated merchandise, maybe with concept art or nice stills of the movies. Maybe the backgrounds from the movies would be good. In more sophisticated styles, like maybe button-down t-shirts instead of just regular t-shirts.
My other resolution was that Disney should resolve to create more attractions incorporating the complex theming you find in Disney's Animal Kingdom and the Indiana Jones Adventure, just to name two things. It goes along with the no more theater attractions, I guess, and that, you know, that is what creates Disney's uniqueness. You know, that is why Disney is the unquestioned leader in the theme park market, because it does have this complex theming that you find. As you enter Muppet Vision 3D, there's a sign that says, look for key under mat. I can name you several people that actually name the fact that you can actually find a key under that mat when you lift it up as one of their favorite aspects of a Disney theme park. Now, it may be something that not every guest appreciates, but for the guests that look, and I think there are a lot of them, it's something that they do appreciate finding and something that for them makes Disney the park they'll go back to.
In the more recent attractions like Soarin', I don't think that it quite has that immersiveness. Soarin' is a great ride system, and I think the technology is wonderful and certainly entertaining and deserving of the accolades it's getting. But on the other hand, it doesn't quite have the immersive show that the Indiana Jones Adventure and a lot of the Animal Kingdom attractions have. Thankfully, it looks like Expedition Everest is going to fit in well with the rest of Animal Kingdom perfectly with how themed the queue seems to be and just the ride building essentially being a gigantic mountain, which is about as themed as you can get. Now moving on to my resolutions, I would love to see Disney to create more G-rated films and specifically less sports-themed live-action movies. While recently the Sky High and Chronicles of Narnia were steps in the right direction, I still think Disney has a way to go because neither of them were G, and I personally think it's very fine for you to make a family film that is rated G that everybody can see, and especially not one that does the typical tried and true formula of sports or dogs or just something more interesting. Also, on a similar note, Disney Television really needs to create more programs that are family oriented and aren't aimed at 9-year-olds. Specifically on the Disney Channel, you turn it on at midnight and they're still playing Lizzie McGuire, which is okay. I don't really have anything against Lizzie McGuire. It's a good show for preteens, but on the other hand, I wouldn't mind to see more shows like in the old days of Disney Channel, they had like Avonlea, and even their movies were more oriented towards the whole family and not specifically just the children. I mean, it's interesting to me because if looking back over the years, some of the most top-rated shows, you know, Home Improvement, some sitcoms like that have done well. I think they've been, you know, number one quite often. So it's interesting that I think there's a void right now that ABC doesn't really have a family-oriented sitcom or even oriented show. The closest thing I would say would be the Extreme Makeover Home Edition for something like that, and that is a pretty well-rated show, but I'd like to see more things for the whole family and not just segmentized for children.
What's also fascinating is that even when they are promoting like new movies or anything, it's also mainly just focused on children-based. Like, they have the Movie Surfers and such programming like that, when before, I mean, going way back when, it was Walt Disney Presents, and it was basically just a show that everybody could just join in and watch. It appealed to everybody. So it would be nice to just see them basically go back to their roots, in a sense.
Yeah, I do think that synergy works better like that. I mean, back in the 50s when they did the Operation Undersea, which was the promotion for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, it was a show that everyone could watch and actually won an Emmy. And I think that that was better marketing than, say, the Movie Surfers. The Movie Surfers works well for the preteen crowd, but I think that if The Wonderful World of Disney had done a Narnia special that was more upscale and more family-oriented, that it may have boosted the numbers a little bit, at least provided something interesting on television for the whole family. Well, this concludes our New Year's resolutions for Disney, and now it's time to announce our contest winner from last week. The winner is James, also known as Disney Nut. James correctly identified all of the clips, and so did a lot of other people that enter. So make sure if you're going to enter a contest to do it as quickly as possible, because we have a lot of Disney-savvy people out there. And for those of you playing along at home, here are the clips again with the answers. Clip number one.
The night will weave its magic spell.
Originally from Lady and the Tramp, that version was from Disney Karaoke. Clip number two.
When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants and maybe try a few.
That was The Bare Necessities, originally from The Jungle Book, but again, our recording was from Disney Karaoke. Clip number three.
Can your friends go abracadabra, and then make sucker disappear?
That was Friend Like Me, originally from Aladdin, and again, our recording was from Disney Karaoke.
Noticing a pattern here, Dan.
Clip number four.
Beware, beware, be a very wary bear.
That was the beginning of Heffalumps and Woozles from Winnie the Pooh and A Blustery Day. Clip number five.
I am not the type to faint when things are odd or things are quaint, but singing things you know that ain't can certainly give you an awful fright.
That was Pink Elephants on Parade from Dumbo. Well, that wraps up another LaughingPlace.com podcast. Tune in next week and we're going to have our regular format back with our Armchair Imagineering segment, Top 10 list, and so on and so forth. Our Armchair Imagineering discussion is going to be on different ride ideas that you could incorporate the Chronicles of Narnia into. So
if you have any ideas, you can call us toll free at 1-866-327-5072.
You can also email us at podcast@laughingplace.com or post in the discussion boards in the podcast section. And now, Jonathan, with our last words.
Those who live in glass houses have taken their love for the Land Pavilion to an unhealthy level.
Goodbye.
See ya.